This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Placement Nation, you're back inside the war zone. I am JT here alongside Chad Campbell, as always, for a new episode, episode 10, Chad, of the Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. It's been a few weeks since we've done this. It doesn't feel that long, though. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, to me, it feels the opposite. It feels like it's been a while.
Oh, really? Been a while. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the dog days of summer, but I had the vacation and then back again, so... Don't feel that long to me.
How was things at Club La Vila?
I got to say, like, doing Disney and then doing a week-long beach trip, the beach trip was kind of lackluster,
yeah.
I got to say.
You got to open with the beach trip. You stacked your card wrong. You put Hogan Rock first.
You're
going to close with Disney.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was fine, but... I think right now, just with the my kids, the ages they are,
right?
Like, I really enjoy Disney a lot more because at the beach, and I was going to ask you this because you know, I saw your trip and it looked like y'all had a good time, but like you know, Caden's right at the age now where he's learning to swim pretty good independently.
Right.
You know, he's taking swimming lessons, and he's certainly not at the age where I'm just going, you know, like, nog off and drink and let him do his thing in the pool, but I don't worry, you know, if he's in the pool, or I can be an arm's length from him and he's fine.
Right.
But with two, and one being 1 year old, that's of course not independent at all, still wants to drink the water in the pool, it was a lot of work, like, at the beach, because he, you know, applying the sunscreen, getting down there, Carson would only last about an hour, then somebody'd have to go up with him, try to take a nap. It was just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And that was where I liked with Disney, because there was enough stimulation and other stuff for him where either A, he could just crash in the stroller,
right,
and then we could do something, you know, like where we could take him into some of the, like, little attractions, like a
shows,
like I did I did like Carousel Progress while he took one of his naps. So you could do that, but, like, at the beach, it was very hectic and not very relaxing. So that was a problem. But you have two, so, I mean, I guess now, like, I assume Juliana, she's good to go, and Alex is probably getting there, right?
Yeah, she's a really good swimmer. So she's got no float, no bubble, and she can go deep end, shallow end. She's been taking lessons for a while. You know, even in the ocean, like, I'll go with her. I let her go, like, on the shore, like, up to, like, her shins, like, on her own, her knees.
Yeah.
But, like, she can go deep with me into the ocean. So, like, when we went a few weeks ago, the waves were, like, pretty crazy. And I took her out, you know, almost pretty much to her neck, you know. And I was holding her and, you know, keeping her afloat a little bit. But so that was cool, like, to actually be able, because I love going, like, I love waves at the beach. And, like, so, I mean, I can sit out in the water forever. So it was nice to actually have her. I can take her out there with me and not have to worry about, you know, either I can't go out or I have to leave both kids back at the shore. So it was cool that she could come out there with me, and she likes going out. But he's getting better too. Like, if he's got his bubble on, he can go. Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
I won't go too far from him, but he can, like he'll go in a pool by himself with a bubble, and I can like sit on the deck or something. You know what I mean? Or just stand.
Right. Yeah, that's where Caden's at. I just have a phobia, I think, with the pool more than anything.
Yeah.
Because when I was like 12, one of my friends drowned at a mm-hmm. birthday party in the pool. So I think of anything like I'm more. Which is kind of weird. I mean, I don't really like swimming underwater myself just because of my ears. I've had terrible ears where I get ear infections if I get a lot of water in them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's always been an issue, like letting go with that. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's taking lessons. But yeah, overall, it was nice, but kind of a hectic trip. It was one of those vacations where I came back and I needed a vacation from the vacation.
The beach can be a pain. I mean, the suntan lotion is the worst. It's like the fucking nightmare. Like if they could ever figure out like a real simple way to put on suntan lotion,
yeah,
be a fucking multi-billionaire.
What if you just did like I wonder if they could create like some sort of mist. You know how like when you go to an amusement park or whatever, they have those cool zones. Mm. With like the mist, like if you could do that and it'd be proficient for the suntan lotion, because yeah, I mean, by the time I do them, I don't care about myself,
right? Yeah.
So I got burned. I was like, you know, fuck it, I'm just gonna get burnt because I don't want to apply any more suntan lotion to myself. Yeah, I'm done.
It's a fucking, you gotta be like me and to suck at it, and then my wife just has both kids because she doesn't trust me to
take the dive, yeah.
And then, but that's where we go to the beach house a lot, Cowboy Seniors Beach House, because. It's like they have the cottage there. We can just walk down. We can go back and forth easily. Like, you know, it's like less, they can shower so they're not trucking all the fucking sand into the car. Like, I prefer to go there. Like, we rarely go. It's getting a little better. Like, we actually went to the regular beach near us last weekend, and it went better because, like, it's not – like, Alex is more amiable. When he was younger, it's a pain, like, getting them cleaned off, getting all the sand out and, like, all that. It was still a bitch, but he's a little bit easier to manage. But the beach house is nice. You can go. We shower off. Like, we go home in their pajamas, you know, basically.
Yeah, y'all usually do just like day trips, right, too?
Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah. Like Narragansett, where all the mainly a lot of the beaches are, is like, whatever, 40 minutes.
Place is beautiful.
Just under an hour. And then, like, Newport has beaches. And then there's, like, Musquamaket, which is really cool. That's down on the shoreline. And that's, like, maybe, whatever, 45 minutes. That's at the border, basically. You go to the border.
Never mind. I was going to ask if you swam in the Gulf, but you have, like, when you went to Naples, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I have. I don't like it because there's no waves. Like, I don't mind just floating out there, but I prefer, like, that's why I like going to the beach house, too, where Senior is, like, the waves are crazy. I don't know what it is, but, and even in Narragansett a few weeks ago, they were crazy. So I like being able to, like, jump the waves and dive into them and play catch and stuff.
Gulf sometimes has some good waves. I mean, I like the beach part
much
better than the Gulf. Yeah, I mean, consistently the waves are going to be calmer in the Gulf, but if you get a pretty good wave day, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. So. Oh, and it's warm. Not like here where it's, you know, like warm, but it's still cold. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Right.
It's never like bath water like it is there.
Well, and y'all, I mean, yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, I kind of have a phobia too. Like,
sharks.
I like being able, just like being able to look down and you can see your feet if you're in the water, and you never can in the Atlantic, so. At least where I've been, Myrtle Beach and Hilton Head.
Right now, it's like very salty and congested. So, I'm watching. I got the SmackDown on right now on cable, Chad. I reconnected the cord. So a few weeks ago, I went to AT&T with something with my phone, and the guy upsold me on DirecTV because they're partnered with AT&T now, and it was like a wicked good deal. Like he hooked me up. I was going to get Sunday ticket, all the shit. I was fucking fired up. I come home. I'm like all pumped. Guy comes out early Saturday morning a few days later, and he's like, it was 8 in the morning. I opened the door, and he's just, it's like, this guy's from like New Mexico or something. I remember him telling me. So he's like, you know, Hispanic or whatever. And he's, you know, he's like, he's like, you can't have DirecTV. Like, you can say hi. Like, that was like the first thing he said. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, why? And he's like, oh, the tree line. So we went on the back, and he's like, you know, you can get this, you can get the extender, put it up yourself. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm not doing all this shit. So I was like heartbroken. I was like, I was so ready. Like, so now it's in my head, right? So now I'm like, I can't just go back to nothing. I was ready for something again. So I tried calling Verizon. I can't get through to them. I call Cox, who, as many people in your place of nation,
this is like a getting back with a bad girlfriend.
Right. Yeah. It's just a toxic relationship, right? Me and Cox. So I call and I'm like, okay. I'm like, basically, you know, give me your best deal. So we're talking through. And the deal she offered me was good, I thought. So I took it. I said, okay, I'm gonna do it. So we finish, and I'm like, I don't know what it was. Like, I still didn't feel kind of right, and I wasn't sure, like, everything it entailed. Like, her, the way she explained it wasn't great. So I'm like, I'm just going to go to the store. Like, it's at the mall. I'm like, come on. So my wife and I took a ride. It's like a 10-minute ride. I go to the mall. And I go in, and I tell the guy, I'm like, hey, you know, I just wanted to come in. I kind of just, like, I just signed up this deal, but she put it on hold, and I wanted to kind of talk things through and the options. And so he's like, no. He's like, I tell her what I had. I'm like, is this good? And he's like, ah. He's like, I can't cancel it because of the commission. He's like, but if you call and cancel and come back in 5 minutes, we can talk. I'm like, all right, I'll do that. So I call up, I cancel the order, take a lap around the mall, come back in. And I told him, like, just give me your best offer. So what they do now, instead of for the bundle, like, you don't have to do the phone. They have, like, this home security option. So you can get, like, a camera and a door sensor. And it gave me a really good deal. Like, I have every channel, every movie channel, 300 fucking speed internet, 4 boxes with DVR. Like, I mean, the full boat, plus a $400 Visa card. And, like, for the monthly price, is, like, pretty good. So I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going back. And, I mean, they've come a long way. Like, the cowboy had just gotten it, and he was speaking highly of it. The guy told me in the store, he's like, I know, we sucked back in the day. He basically admitted it. He's like, but we've come a long way with our equipment. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get back in bed with the devil. But I've been very happy. Like, the internet's great. It's nice having cable again. It is. Just not having to, like, you know, think, just fly through. And then the program they have, like, the talking, you know, where you can talk into the remote. But it's, like, really good. It's, like, sharp. It picks up everything. So if I just, like, pick up the remote and say NFL Network, it'll just go to it. Like, it doesn't even – it just goes to it.
That's pretty good.
And I can say, you know, DVR. It brings me to a DVR. I can say sports, and it actually brings me to, like, a sports zone where I can look at box scores and fantasy stats for, like, every game that's on and then choose one to record if it's on, like, if it's airing. I can do weather, and it brings up, like, the weather forecast from Weather Channel across the TV. So it's, like, really, really in-depth. I could also just say, like, baseball, and it'll tell me all the baseball games that are on that I could go to. So it's pretty cool. So anyway, this is all me saying, if I can change, you can change. I'm turning the corner. I'm giving Cox a fresh start. We're getting back together. Our relationship's better than ever, and we're going to make it work this time.
I can't wait till 3 episodes in and here.
Well, no, I even got my first bill, which is usually the hurdle, and it was right. So I was waiting for the first bill to be wrong, because it's usually wrong with Cox, but it was right. So I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling good right now.
So the DirecTV guy, I mean, did he not even, like, propose, like, maybe checking out the roof, or
an
option?
He was going to put it on the roof, but
I really don't understand then how, I mean, because, like, I mean, I've been to your house, like, I did not think these trees were, like, excessively massive, right?
But you've been in my house 5 years ago. We have, like, trees in the back that are huge.
Yeah, but I mean, I got, like, 50-foot trees.
Are they the southwest?
Like,
is your dish do you have dish?
I have direct.
Yeah,
direct
is it facing TV. Is it facing the trees?
Yeah.
I don't know. He just said if there's no clear path in the southwest skies.
I would think, like, from my house to my tree line is about the same distance as yours.
It might be the angle, though. Like, mine, like, the trees are kind of on top of mine. So, like, I think he couldn't get it. He was saying, like, he because there's, like, the lower pitch of my roof is further out from the trees. You know what I mean? From the southwest point. So, like, the higher part of the house where he could maybe put it is closer to the trees, if that makes sense.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm shocked they don't have the technology to cut through that stuff. Like, they can't develop.
Yeah, I mean, that's about to say. I mean, like, because... I mean, it's either one or two things. Like, either the technology's behind or this dude just was pretty shoddy, you know, lazy. But
he was thinking, we talked for a while. He was like, you could maybe put it, I can't even put it in the yard because of the tree. And he's like, if you go get the extender pole, it may work. I'm like, I'm not putting a fucking extender pole up. And he's like, if you cut the, I'm like, I'm not spending $2,000 cutting trees down to get DirecTV. I'm like, I don't care.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was just like, forget it.
It's very interesting.
But it's funny because later that day, I got a call from DirecTV. And they were like, oh, just want to let you know, like, the technician's running behind. They'll be at your house in X amount of time. Like, he already came. And she's like, he did? And then I'm thinking, was it really DirecTV or does some guy from, like, fucking Verizon come to my house? And, like, does he, like, poach and, like, lie to you and say, like, you can't get DirecTV?
Oh, DirecTV, our service sucks. You're not going to be able. When we moved into our house, there was this big, like, territorial debate on who did the, like, internet wiring. Have you ever had that problem where, like if you change providers, like, where they want to hook up the modem or the router, there was this big pissing match between we have Comcast and them and DirecTV over who, you know, who had territory of the wiring and where they could put the modem and all this. It was a shit show.
Well, when I moved in my neighborhood, Verizon wasn't even in yet. I think they were pushing to, like, get approval. Only Cox was here. And then about 3 months after I moved in, Verizon came in and wired. But I've heard, like, stories of, like, Cox reps or Verizon, like, they'll slice the cable from, like, the other one when they come in.
Well,
that's install.
This is what happened. I mean, because they, like, hooked in to the other one. So when we changed once and the guy came and he was like, oh, they're illegally using our cord. I was like, I don't know what's going on, buddy. But he was wanting to, like, you know, erect this very ugly looking, like, wiring on the outside with, right, like a silver box. And I was like, no. He was like, well, that's the only way I can get in through the wire. I can't go, you know, like, through the roof or whatever, the wall down, or to drop a cord. I was like, well, we're going to have to figure something out, because I'm not, you know, look like the Tin Man was trying to escape my house the way he had it set up. So, they figured it out.
The guys who did mine were like, really cool. I mean, they were here for a while, too. But one of the guys is a big Eagles fan, so we were talking. And I was like, you know, I got a guy that's a big Eagles fan I can introduce you to. I told him.
Brad Woodling. Yeah. Doing cable on the side.
So, speaking of cable, Chad, why don't we go ahead and dive in? We've been putting this off long enough. tonight we are covering the 10/23/95 Raw and Nitro. Last episode, of course, we touched on In Near House 4, which was our lowest graded show to date. I went 2.5. What did you go on that show?
I went, yeah, 1.5. And it actually feels like we were kind of more positive than other races, right, on some of the stuff. I mean, because, like, that main event, you know, like, I was listening to our Vantage Point, and people were wanting it to be in, like, the worst pay-per-view world title matches of the 90s. And, I mean, I didn't think the main event was good at all, but.
Right, not that level.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, like, Diesel Sid was worse.
So. Yeah, it's. I mean, this Diesel Mabel's probably worse too. I mean, there's a few in this year alone that are probably worse.
Right, right.
All right. Well, so we are now at the next night on Monday Night Raw. So we're back live, which is cool. And why don't you bring us into the festivities here?
So we're from Manitoba, Brandon, Manitoba, Canada tonight. And we didn't
get
much
to,
of an...
It's next to Brenda, Manitoba, I think.
Brenda. That is how it's pronounced, right? Brandon?
Yeah, I would
assume.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just always heard Manitoba. Maybe Aaron George can set us straight on that. But we didn't get much of an intro tonight. We went right into this Battle Royal, which is for the number one contendership of the Intercontinental title. And now I listed all 20 men competing in this Battle Royal. Yeah. So here's our competitors. Fatu, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, which I think is the first time we've seen him, right?
Yep.
Pretty sure.
It's the first time we've seen him, yeah. I mean, he's obviously been around since, like, 94.
Right. King Kong Bundy, they slugged him out there. Marty Jannetty, Aldo Montoya, Henry O. Godwin, Bam Bam Bigelow, Skip, Hakushi, Bob Holly, Owen Hart, Rad Radford, Jean-Pierre Lafitte, 123 Kid, Sid, which was kind of surprising, Savio Vega, Barry Horowitz, and Isaac Yankum DDS. He gets the main event entrance for this Battle Royal.
It's quite the who's who. Somehow it may be a better group than the Rumble had, 95 well, Rumble.
Well, so I wrote down those names. Mm. And the thing that sort of was striking to me is I was like, okay, at this point in time in 1995, which of those guys would you say is on the incline, like is peaking? Because there's really not a lot, you know? I mean, like Dudrosi gone, Bundy gone, right. You know, Bam Bam.
Kid, I guess?
Gone.
Kid.
I was thinking 1-2-3 Kid. Helmsley, possibility, and Helmsley. Those were the two that I had written off had said, okay, maybe they're not. They're right. sort of still.
I mean,
on the,
are you talking incline. From? Are you talking like in the moment or like with what we know where they're going? Because I would have like, said like in the moment, I would have said like you could still maybe say like Pierre Lafitte. You know what I mean? Like or. Comma. Like, those guys didn't seem completely dead at the time.
I wouldn't say completely dead, but I would say they certainly, even from just what we've seen, they seem cooled off from, right. like, where they were, like, even a month or two before.
I would say Savio is probably in that group of guys. I know, but he had only just debuted in, like, May, and, like, he was...
Yeah.
I mean, look, we're picking from the dregs, but if you're making me pick some guys, I would say Kidd
right.
and Vega.
Well, that was just what was striking to me, because, yeah. I mean, like, Yankum... We've seen him, you know, he's pretty much done now after right. the cage match. It feels like Sid, you know, fighting with Henry Godwin's on tough times. Bundy looked like he'd rather be anywhere else. So it was just interesting that, you know, I mean, you pack the ring with 20 guys that are contracted. And, yeah, I mean, even at this moment in time, I would say you had two guys that were on the incline. I mean, maybe more. Actually, Marty Jannetty would probably be my third guy.
Yeah.
Just because they were heating him up and he'd been competitive. So that's
it's a rough group,
not,
for sure.
Not very good. Not very good.
As I'm watching them all, I'm like, oh, I don't know who I'd even want Razor to fight next week.
No, well, I mean, I had a clear choice for me, and that's who I thought it'd be. I thought it'd be 1-2-3 Kid going in. But, right. We'll see, because I had no idea. I went in blind on who
I actually thought it could be. I thought it might be Sid, to be honest with you. Like trying to toss him a bone and like give him another big match, you know?
Yeah, or Lafitte. Yeah. I mean, I could have seen that, but as we'll see, that was not the case. So we get some promos from Sid and mm-hmm. Marty. And now this felt like an Aaron George special, the Sid promo. Just a crazy, you know. Not quite any memorable one-liners like a bogus act, but just you know, coked out, insane Sid. And then Marty follows that right up with his stoner-type promo. So quite the contrast watching these back-to-back.
And by the way, so Bundy, this is his last Raw match. We're not going to see him again. I can't believe he's still fucking around. I mean, I thought he was done. I always thought he was done after the Shawn... King of the Ring qualifier, but no, he's still hanging around. And then he's on a Superstars taping. He's in a dark match, and then he's in Sid's corner, which I don't know if this was televised. It says Bret Hart with Mike Anderson, Bobby Jarrasin, and Glenn Kulka, the infamous Glenn Kulka, and Scott Hendrickson of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders pin Sid with DiBiase, Bundy, comma, and Skip. So I don't know if that was televised or not on the 11-4 Superstars, but. Glenn Kulka, of course, ends up he starts training for a while, right? At some point, he was one of those guys that was always talked about but never materialized.
Okay,
you don't remember him at all?
No, I don't recall.
Mr. I think he Kulka. Went to the. He was like in the when they do like the Funkin' Dojos and stuff. Like I think. Brad
oh yeah, Funkin' Conservatory. Okay.
Yeah, whatever the hell they were. Yeah, he signed a developmental deal to WWF. He was on house shows in late '97. Scored victories and decent names on those shows. And it looks like he hung around. He broke his leg. Looks like he left in early 99. Then he went to Power Pro. He was around for a while.
What's his name? Glenn Kulka?
Kulka. Kulka.
I wonder if he had a different gimmick. I don't recall him on the Power Pro stuff I've watched from 99. But
he got released in February 2000, so.
Maybe. I mean, because Power Pro, like, you know, going through the 2000 stuff, like Power Pro... When they were still somewhat affiliated with WWF, they right. have such, like, you know, it's like these guys are never going to make the roster, like Bulldog Reigns and Blade Boudreaux. It's not the cream of the crop there. No Flex Cavanas coming through.
He feuded with PCO in Northwest Championship Wrestling in May of 2000. Well, so there you go. He retired. Like
Copa for SCI 2019.
He retired about 3 months after he got released. But he was with WWE for, like, you know, a good, whatever, like almost 3 years. So good on him, I guess.
Yeah, good for him.
I think he just had his name. I don't think he had a gimmick. But anyway, Bundy. So anyway, back to my point. Bundy, then he has that match, and then I think that's it. No, he wrestles one last match. His final match in Selkirk, Manitoba. The Smoking Guns defeat Kama and King Kong Bundy, and that was it for him. So
ends his career. Pretty, I mean, you know. One of the more memorable guys of the 80s and 90s, probably.
Oh yeah, for sure. He had a great run. Yeah, so I was shocked when he showed up on this Raw. I was like, oh my god, I thought he was gone in June. I couldn't believe he was still here.
Well, he's not in this Battle Royal for long. I think he's the first one eliminated, and it's like 20 seconds into the match, literally. They do the thing where like they team up and get the fat guy out. So
let me see that match. That match did air on Superstars. It was on 11/4 Superstars, Brett versus Sid. So
yeah, it may be on Monsoon Classic. So may have to seek that out. To get back to the Battle Royal, Skip actually is able to eliminate Aldo Montoya. So even, you know, the jobber Skip gets in on it. the first segment's them coming out, and then we saw Bundy and Aldo eliminated. So there's still 18 guys left. They go to break, and then when we come back, there's like six guys in the ring. I don't know what the hell happened, but. You know, like, there's literally 12 eliminations in the 2 minutes or whatever they do the break.
Were you surprised that Owen, like, they don't even mention him until, like, minutes into the match?
Yeah, he didn't get, like, an actual entrance or nothing. He was kind of – he feels like he's a little lost to a degree, like, coming into this match, I guess, with, like, Yoko doing whatever. So they've lost the tag titles, so – it didn't seem like there was a clear direction for him. We'll see where he goes from here after this match.
And you mentioned Kid like thinking he'd be like a contender and being surprised. Were you shocked that they eliminated him during the break? Like he doesn't even get an on-screen elimination.
Yeah. We come back from the break and Horowitz topple Skip, and then we like I've noticed. I was like, 1, 2, 3, Kid's gone, and I don't know how or why. But that I thought that was very surprising. And really weird. I don't quite understand the logic here. I'll just say I had a lot of issues with this show, being live and everything, and what was presented, and the booking. I thought was pretty much pitiful up and down the card.
You didn't heed my warning when I told you that we were reaching the bottom, the absolute bottom of the WWF.
Have arrived. Yes. That was just a terrible decision. To not showcase Kid at all. Even if you want to hold off on the angle proper, I don't understand why you wouldn't have it. I mean, you could always have him in there, be eliminated by Owen. I mean, he would have made probably a final better.
Well, Marty, just have Marty throw him out. You know what I mean? Marty tosses Sid. Anybody. I mean, he could dump them both. Or you have Razor come out and stand in the aisle or to watch and get distracted or whatever. I like Sid throwing out Yankum, Lawler flipping out. That was funny.
That got a nice pop.
Yeah.
So
and Marty, I mean Marty throws Sid out, like I said, and he's really getting a good push. Like he is, you know, they were behind Marty at this point, which is surprising to me. I don't remember. I remember him like kind of being a big deal like right when he returned, but I didn't remember him like kind of being at this level.
Right now, Bam Bam eliminated Sid, so that's
no. I thought Marty tossed out Sid.
It was Bam Bam.
Was it Bam Bam?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for him.
Jannetty tosses out Lafitte.
Okay.
And eliminates Savio. Yeah. He had one fatty. So they take a break again, and now there's five left. So it's Bam Bam, Jean-Pierre Lafitte, Savio, Jannetty, and Owen. Vince at one point says Shawn Michaels is watching at home, which I doubt it. I really doubt it. The crowd did get a little bit behind Marty.
Yeah.
We got some faint Marty. I mean, I'm not going to say they were like wild for Marty, but they got behind him a fair amount here. It's just him and Jannetty once he eliminates Lafitte. I mean, I'm sorry, it's Marty and Owen once he eliminates Lafitte. So he tries to get Owen over, but he's unable. A couple times they do a pretty cool, I thought Owen did really good here, like teetering on the ropes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good visual spot, but it's kind of one of the things I have a problem with overall with Battle Royals is like, so I mean, like Owen's literally hanging on like by a thread with his arms, and Marty for long sequences of time is just standing there. It's like, why are you not kicking his hands or you know, punching his hand? Yeah, I mean, he just sort of looks dumbfounded that this guy can, you know, balance himself on the apron. Marty goes through the ropes. Bulldog clobbers him on the outside. Bulldog was kind of hanging around on the outside. And then Marty gets back in and Owen dumps him to win. I thought this was kind of a pretty weird downgrade for Bulldog to go from the main event of the pay-per-view to kind of hanging out and feuding with Marty.
Well, yeah, I think it's just I don't mind it too much. I think this is a blip because we've already found out, or you know, we're about to find out. Like, he's set still to be in the main event picture, and he's got a good match in Survivor Series. So I think it's just like, all right, kill some time for 2 weeks. Because Diesel's tied up with Brett. He's going to be involved in that at some point. But, I mean, who else is really around for him to feud with? I guess, I mean, you could add him in the Battle Royal. Maybe he challenges Razor or something. But outside of, like, Taker, who's hurt, like, I don't know. Who else could he have even been with? Like, I think Marty's been pushed enough where it's a decent, like, two-week thing just to kill some time for Bulldog.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. So, I mean, I went a star and a half on this. What do you think about Battle Royals overall? Because I know some are proponents of them. I am not one of those people.
So I went, actually went,
not a big fan.
We had a big disparity here. I went 2.25. I'm not the biggest Battle Royal guy. like, I've seen good ones, but I've seen a lot of boring ones. I prefer Rumbles, obviously. But I get their point. Like, for here, I actually thought it was a good use of one because they don't really have a clear IC contender. It's kind of exciting seeing the roster out there to open the show, like, for the crowd. Like, it's a good way to get the crowd fired up to the begin the long night of tapings. So, like, I get their usefulness. I'm not, like, pumped to see Battle Royals. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. But I thought this one here was fine. I thought the final four was good, though. I think that's what bumped my grade. I thought Marty and Owen worked well together. Marty's really been pushed like a star, like I said. You know, we mentioned Lafitte earlier. I think he probably could have used the win the most of people in here. But Owen's a fine choice. Like, you know, you're going to get a good match with him and Razor, at least. And I didn't mind the Bulldog stuff. I liked him coming out and beating up Marty. Because it shows he's kind of pissed and he's saving Cornette. Like, he's still being real aggressive. He doesn't give a fuck who's who. He just wants to come out and beat the shit out of guys because he got fucked the night before. So, I'm fine with that part of it.
So we get a promo with Owen after the match with Lawler. And Lawler had a funny line where he said somewhere Owen's Jurassic Park parents should be proud, which was pretty good.
Owen's smile was like the most amazing smile of all time. He had this huge pride smile going on. It was just like... Like he won the fucking Super Bowl, like, by winning this Battle Royal. It's just, like, this massive, gleaming smile.
He was definitely very proud.
Yeah.
This was a minor, probably, booking quibble in the grand scheme of things, but when you compound it with everything else, I wrote it down. Like, I just feel like by this point in time, like, we're in almost November of 95, and Owen and Lawler are still, like, focused on Brett.
Right.
I mean, it feels so desperate because we know Brett's challenging Diesel in Survivor Series. So, like, that's his A feud. So you still have these other two heels, especially somebody like Owen, who's more active, who's mainly, like, even in this promo, he's not talking as much about Razor. He's talking more about Brett. It's right. Like, you know, give it up, man.
He's obsessed with his brother still. He could never beat him. Can't get over it. It's like Red
that's
Sox fans, 3-0-4. They just couldn't get the Yankees out of their mouth, yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, so we go from that to a control center with Doc. And he announces the wild card match for Survivor Series, which I remember as a kid I always thought was a neat concept.
Yeah.
I like the concept. but that was about it for that. Then we
Well, before that, though, Vince does make a revelation. He says that Brett will challenge Diesel in Survivor Series, so...
Like, I thought they'd already announced that, no?
I don't know. The way he says it sounded like he was announcing it. I don't think they said it.
We did get the graphic.
Right.
I know, so maybe it's official. But, so we get that. And
I also like
card.
Doc when he mentions Ahmed without even saying who he is. Like, he just says it. Like, Ahmed Johnson, like, on the wild card team. Like, okay, who the fuck is that?
Well, yeah, I have some of that. We cut back to a quick... thing, and this was one of my favorite moments of the show, where Bob Backlund is campaigning in Canada for his presidency.
Vince calls it out.
I don't know why I thought this was so hilarious, but I did. And then we go back, and Ahmed is back with a promo. So as we had suspected, they kind of cut the look and vibe of that other promo talking about issues and stuff like that. This is him, very generic, more, I guess, more light to a degree, right. You know, not like very serious, but he basically says if someone crosses him, he will show the new meaning of medieval. as we suspected, the tone of that one promo was dropped. So I don't know if they aired any more on Superstars, but it looks like as far as Raw is concerned, we're just going to get that one.
Right. Now it's kind of being generic muscle.
And then, we go to break and we get the, Harvey telling Bertha Faye and never stop blowing me. And then, you know, I mean, of course he's going to say like, those sweet kisses or whatever.
Yeah.
But they cut off, like they literally cut off the street where you hear Harvey down on his knees saying, and never stop blowing me. So there's a tease for your main event. Come back and we get our debut of Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
And he's facing one of our more perennial rural jobbers, Brian Walsh. We hear Sean was attacked by a mob outside the Syracuse nightclub. And then Vince asking how it feels to wear a mask, which I thought was kind of odd, but right. I guess he gives some perspective.
They had real low energy in this match, King and Vince, by the way. They were like,
yeah, well,
through.
I mean, as we get to it, I don't see how they could not with what we saw here. I mean, what did you think of Avatar? Just like, impression wise.
I mean, it's weird he puts a mask on when he gets to the ring. Like, they kind of try to explain it. The crowd had no interest, though. The martial arts stuff was terrible. Him and Walsh, whatever the fuck they were doing, was brutal. Then he botches the fucking, loses his balance at the top rope. But then the slingshot punch, he kind of makes up for it. Like, that was a nice spot. Avatar misses a nice moonsault, and like, King and Vince sound like they don't give a shit at all. I don't know. It was all right. The crowd was dead. And Vince had the best line. He's a fine looking young man. Or nice looking young man, he said. I don't know. I want a quarter star, but.
Okay.
It's like, wow, you want a rare dud, huh? You thought it was that bad?
This is my first dud.
Jeez.
I thought this was dreadful. There was nothing. I don't like Snow much as a worker. Yeah. I think he's one of these. I guess in some ways rose-colored workers throughout time where you heard, in the early 90s, he was state-of-the-art and doing all these high spots. I like Jerry Lynn better than Snow, but I think they're comparable in that way where they're presented as like really state-of-the-art and it's possible at the time because I wasn't watching ECW in 94, 95 and stuff like that. But when you do go back and watch it, there's just so much that is botched and doesn't look smooth at all. And you see other workers, you know, contemporaries at that time, somebody like Chris Candido, who in Smoky Mountain Wrestling is having those types of matches or he is performing the moves more cleanly and crisp. And so it's just frustrating to watch Snow. I've never liked Snow. I mean, the head gimmick when we get there is kind of amusing, but I thought this gimmick was straight trash. Like,
it's not good.
Honestly, awful.
It's one of those ones where you look at it and you're like, it's just dead in the water. It's like, this is
never
going
anywhere. It's never going to work. I mean, first off, putting your mask on when you get in is just awkward and weird. They couldn't explain it well. He had problems with his mask. He kept trying to adjust it during this match. I'd say Snow's best attributes is his bumping ability because he could bump really well. But here he's meant to be like, you know, the high flyer / martial artist, and he's not.
I mean, the martial arts stuff was real bad.
It
was ugly. Yeah, and you know, he's like not a bad looking dude, especially at this point. Like Vince says, so I'm surprised they did like the mask kind of thing for them, and I mean they could have used like a young decent looking guy up, you know, in the upper mid card, and I'm surprised they saddled them with this gimmick that clearly was not going to go anywhere. I mean, I guess it was their, you know, shot at taking, they were taking a shot at like a luchador kind of thing, but it's clearly not going anywhere. I mean,
no,
and we'll see. It doesn't last very long at all. I think it just
so that's, I mean, that's why I gave it a dud, just because I mean most squashes like this are going to be like a quarter or a half a star, but I thought this was such a failure as a gimmick that I bumped it down a little bit. So I was pretty rough on this. Avatar does win, but there you go. Then we go to the aisleway, and your boy's back.
Barry D.
Dentsky. He is back. And what a headset he was wearing here. straight out of his Call of Duty game, slamming on some 12-year-olds. He shields the cutouts of Brett and HBK. And much like Doc, he's throwing in the videotape as well. So rest assured, you get that classic videotape.
And we have the cutout. We got Barry D at least until early December, so he's not going away just yet.
Great, good. Some great Barry D content coming up.
He's got the fucking giant cutouts. Ridiculous. And we also find out Goldust will make his TV debut next week.
Right, right. And that leads us into our main event, right?
It does.
Any other notes?
Big right, women's so title match.
This is for the women's title match, so the women main evented Raw here.
So is this the first one? I guess so. I mean, everyone always says the Lita Trish or whatever, but I guess we've discovered the original main event women's match.
Maybe they conveniently forget that this is the first one. I don't know. Has Stacy written up this match? Can we hear her diagnosis on what happened here?
I feel like maybe we actually had one other one. Lundra and Bull or something, maybe?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I know, like, Bull
did one, but
I don't know if that main evented.
Let's see, 4-3. Now, Graham has a Men on a Mission squash after the Bull-Blaze match. And that's right here. This is it. This might be the actual first ever women's main event, not Lita Trish.
Nice, not a history here. Then.
There you go.
So as soon as Bertha comes out, Vince calls her Big Bertha.
So she outweighs Harvey by 100 pounds.
Yeah. Just a lot of fat jokes for Bertha here. Lawler gives Alundra chances slim to none, but then says he can't say anything slim around Bertha.
I thought Alundra got a decent reception with her pyro.
Yeah, I mean, she always seemed like she got a pretty good reaction. I don't know. I mean, a lot of that's kind of like, I mean, she's the only girl in town, too.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean,
but they're not giving her apathy like Avatar. I mean, they're at least, you know, respecting her a little bit.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I think it's a little A, a little B. I mean, she did well, but I do think, you know, if you're the, I mean, I don't know who, they don't have any other face women really in the division. So you're it. So if you're a female fan, then this is who you get to cheer for, really.
Yeah.
Bertha uses her size and power to control the match. She does hit a Tiger Driver during the break, which looked pretty good. But, I mean, Bertha's on top for a lot of this match, and I didn't think she did anything interesting. Mm-hmm. Alundra makes a comeback. I thought that looked sloppy with her strikes and kicks. And Lawler said at one point, look at the nose on the Alundra Blaze, reminds me of Bullwinkle the Moose. So they were pretty, both him and Vince were pretty rough on commentary between that and the fat jokes. Harvey holds Alundra, but she moves out of the way. Bertha runs into Harvey, and then Alundra gets a German suplex and wins the belt back. Now that did get a good pop, I thought. But the match I didn't think was much at all. And then Bertha chases Harvey out. So, does this ride off Bertha? No, she's in.
No, she's around.
Survivor Series.
She's around. Vince plugging.
Maybe turning face. That's kind of what they tease.
Right. Yeah. They definitely leave you thinking that. Vince, plugging the superstar line during this thing too. Trying to talk about anything but it. The guy in the front wrote the members only jacket, a black cowboy hat, glasses, and mustache.
Nice.
That was a highlight for me. It was fine. You get the collision. You knew her and Harvey would collide at some point. That would be it. It was a fun moment. It was a pedestrian match, but it was a fun moment. It was time for Alundra to get her belt back. It's basically mirrors 94. Bull wins it. Blaze has, you know, her time chasing and then wins it back.
Yeah, I mean, the moment was okay. I didn't think much of the match.
I think it was the same time, right? Bertha won it at SummerSlam?
Yeah, she won it at SummerSlam.
And that's when
Bull
won it. So it pretty much mirrors exactly. And I think Alundra won it back in November, so a month later last year. And we get the dissension. But if they're going to keep this division around, it needs some depth or substance. It's just the same repetitive matches. I can just imagine these two just working every night on the circuit. I'm sure.
What did you go on this puppy?
all I care is if she keeps blowing me. I went 2 stars on this.
Okay. I cut that in half and yeah. have mine.
I must have been in a good mood watching this show. I don't know what
Oh, yeah, this is definitely some rose-colored... I was not in a great mood, but I just didn't think there was much to that. So
I feel like I watched it maybe like right after In Your House, and that maybe. Like, lulled me to sleep so bad. Like, this actually felt like better. And it's only 45 minutes, so like,
right.
I don't know.
So we do get next week. We get Savio versus Goldust and Razor versus Owen. So mm-hmm. I mean, to me, on paper, that seems like a better looking week,
right?
At least, and we close things up with JR doing a promo with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Shawn's hair, awful.
He's a mess.
Hideous hair.
Do you like a sweatshirt?
Yeah, we didn't get what was the name of that jacket crap?
Oh, Pele Pele.
Yeah, Pele Pele. But his fashion sense around this time was interesting.
We'll his sweatshirt and jeans here looked a little. They looked a little 95. I thought he was okay tonight.
Overall. He was all right. Yeah. On point.
I think so. On point's a little strong, but I mean, he's not far off.
Okay. All right. He says Dean Douglas is overrated and undeserving.
Sure.
Heavy shots at Dean. Of course, this is knowing the full scope of right. everything, but I did think saying overrated was a little bit of an inside baseball and kind of a cheap shot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, on kayfabe wise, I can see how it would work, but, I mean, undeserving felt like a term you would use. I wouldn't think, like, if you were in a feud with somebody, you'd call them overrated. Like, right. that seemed yeah. a little... shitty.
It was definitely like a shot at him.
Yeah, a little backhanded comment or whatever at him. I thought JR, but this was weird where, excuse me, they kind of quickly transitioned to Survivor Series. So it's almost like, he's opposite sides of Dean. They're the captains, so that's one thing, but. It feels like, all right, well, that's over with. Now we're going into this wild card match. Sean says he has more tests coming up on Wednesday, and he's not going to sit at home and cry, which is kind of funny because when he loses his smile, that's all he does. That's kind of it. I mean, not much, just sort of, Sean's trying to get back in there. He's got to do these tests on Wednesday. We'll see what the doctor says. Did you appreciate this
it was promo? Fine. Whatever. Or? I mean, I'm glad they did something okay. instead of Vince just stroking him from behind the commentary booth. At least they had him on screen talking and stuff.
King fake cries as we go off the air. So thus ends this illustrious episode of Raw.
Buzz through these awards, if you call them that. But
yeah, so match of the night.
I went Battle Royale.
I begrudgingly went Battle Royale. Your moment of the night.
I went with Alundra's win. Like, yeah. I don't know. She's been through a lot. Like, she's hung in. And they gave her a nice little pop when she won. She seemed genuinely happy. So that was a cool little moment. And it was the first ever female main event on Raw. So, there.
Yeah. Alundra's win is probably the choice. But I was feeling pissed after this episode. So I actually went with Backlund campaigning. Oh. Just as a... It made me laugh, and nothing else did on this show. Your MVP?
My MVP was Owen.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I went Jannetty. He seemed to get the crowd behind him the most in the Battle Royal and got some pretty high-profile mm-hmm. eliminations. We did have a commentary. What did you get? Any nuggets there?
Let's see. I had... Marty's going for a pin in there. Does he have brain damage? King during the Battle Royale. Jurassic Park parents are proud. I called that one out. I was at a party last night with his cousin Joe Walsh. That was King during the Brian Walsh match.
Oh, yeah, Brian Walsh, yeah.
And what's the chance of them coming to your home? Barry Dudinsky said about the cutouts of Brett and Sean.
There you go. No shots fired. We did get a debut with Avatar. Yeah. I put the Ahmed's vignettes as a dropped angle.
Yeah, okay, that's a good
one. It kind of looks like they've done away with those. And this got a 2.6 rating, so actually up a little bit, which, with the live bump coming off of pay-per-view, you expect a little bit of an uptick. And now we get to the final rating. What did you grade this bad boy?
I went 3 out of 10. So there better than your house, but I mean, just not too much going on at all. But I can't put it as bad as in your house because it's an hour shorter. You know what I mean? And whatever. In your house, just had nothing. This, to me at least, there's like no, I guess you didn't like the average. You thought the average was a dud. But I mean, I had, you know, the Battle Royale 2.25 or Alundra 2. So like, it's, you know, it's decent.
Yeah, I had it the same as In Your House 4, 1.5 out of 10. I'm really not enjoying what I'm seeing so far. I mean, besides the graphic, I mean, we've talked about this where they have shows where, like, Diesel and Brett take off. But, I mean, besides the graphic of them matching up, like, we heard nothing from them throughout the show. And that's right. Your main event angle in 4 weeks. And just overall, like, I mean, the wild card concept is neat, but you got Sean basically saying Douglas is a non-entity, he's overrated. So, I mean, why should you care about that? 1-2-3 Kid, there was just a lot of problems with this. I mean, the Alundra title win was nice, but I did not enjoy the show at all. So
it's rough.
That's that.
I mean, I think we're at the bottom, though. I mean, I say Survivor Series is the bump, and I think even Raw next week is pretty good. So it's actually one of the higher graded Raws I've had. So we'll see if you agree.
Okay.
So I think we're turning around a little bit. But yeah, I think we're through the darkest times, which was In Your House 4 and the night after. Like, I think we get better from here. So I think we're on the way up. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to have down nights, but I think overall the company starts to turn the corner here.
That's promising.
Very lightly. I mean, it's a, you know, we're just a little bit over the bottom, but it's, you know, we're starting to see the up now.
Yeah, I mean, because I really felt like, you know, in the first few weeks with Nitro and Raw competing, it felt like, as we talked about, like, Raw seemed to have our match of the night, and maybe Nitro was a little more consistent, but it really is starting to feel like in the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks, like, the gap is widening.
Yeah.
Where I'm looking way forward to these Nitros and can watch them and waiting for the next one to start. And with this Raw, it's like, oh, do I have to? Right. It's like, all right, I guess I'll fire it up.
Yeah, no, I agree with
we'll
you.
We'll see.
In a way, though, it's funny because from a note-taking perspective, I prefer Raw because it's less – like Nitro, it's so much more frenetic, you know, like trying to keep up, whereas Raw is like kind of easy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like that Battle Royal, right. I mean, with the Battle Royal, your notes honestly could be like a lot of people get eliminated and we're down to, you know, Owen and Jannetty.
Right. So.
And that was 20 minutes of the show.
And there's Raw. Another Raw in the books.
All right, so let's move on over to Nitro. We are in Huntsville, Alabama tonight. And right away, as we talked about, like, the frantic nature of this show, Macho Man's music starts us off. I mean, immediately as we cut to the crowd, we hear Macho, and he's facing Kurosawa tonight. We get our first Where the Big Boys Play right out of the gate by Eric.
Wasted no time.
Yeah, I mean, 20 seconds in, he drops that. So Macho shoves the stogie off of Colonel Robert Parker's hand and shoves him. Which was got a nice pop. Kurosawa then gets a kick, and he starts the match with a lot of kick and strikes. I thought Kurosawa was very dominating and looked good. He gets a near fall and a side slam and does a baseball slide to the outside. So the Macho was pretty given to him, and I thought it made Kurosawa look like a pretty good threat here for the early going. Mm-hmm. We get talk about the Braves World Series.
Eric's gloating. Gloating early.
Up 2 games. Yeah. So I'm guessing this was probably around when it was 3-1, I'm guessing. Which right at, I mean, game 5 of that series was going to be Maddox, who pitched a gem
right.
in game 1. So it felt like the series might have been over in 5 games. It ended up going 6. But it's neither here nor there, but yeah, I'm still talking about the Braves.
He takes shots at a Manny sliding in the World Series.
Yeah, that's good. You didn't go, I guess he didn't go behind the wall in Jacobs Field to take a piss or whatever. No. But
beat up a ticket attendant, whatever the hell he's
good, good old Manny before he was a character.
This right.
is still very young Manny. Albert Bell was probably the biggest personality on the Indians.
Yeah, Kenny Lofton maybe too. Was he in the Indians?
Oh, yeah, Kenny Lofton. Yeah, that was a weird team because you had, like, them, And then you had like Tommy and Manny as your young stalwarts. And then you had like the top of the rotation was headed by Hershiser and Dennis Martinez, like right. in the twilight of their career.
Yeah, sort of odd team.
Yeah, sort of odd put together. Kurosawa works the arm as they head to break. We come back from break. He goes for that slide again. Savage moves out of the way. Then Kurosawa kicks the post, mm-hmm. and that made a nasty sound.
Yeah.
Like, he did not pull that shot much at all. So that could not have felt good at all. Savage gets the clothesline and goes for the elbow, wasting no time to win while he was nursing the arm that was worked on before. Now this was my biggest problem with this match. I actually enjoyed this match a good bit in making Kurosawa look dominant, like I said, but when he goes for the elbow, Kurosawa starts out facing the wrong way, so he has to kind of like roll his body completely over into position for Macho to hit the elbow. It looks very like business exposing.
Right.
I don't know if he thought the camera would not be on him or what, but that did not look good. That was definitely the low point of the match, but overall, like I said, I thought it was kind of a hard-fought victory for Savage. He sold the arm well, helped make Kurosawa look like, you know, a gatekeeper-type mm-hmm. level role for the company at the time. Gives Colonel Robert Parker something to do. So I went 2.25 on this one. Thought it was pretty good.
So I actually went higher than you, 2.75.
Oh, nice.
I liked it a lot. I liked Kurosawa the smiling and laughing as he beat on the taped arm. Like, I thought that was cool. I like Kurosawa attacking off the bell, too, like you said, with all the strikes, and Savage just kind of throwing him to the floor, like in this desperation spot, was cool. Bischoff calls Kurosawa an Asian assassin. The kick to the post was real gross. And then the quick comeback in the elbow. It was fun, hard hitting. And it was a nice story to Havoc, too, because now we're really concerned about Savage's arm going into that match with Luger. So I thought that was real well done, too. It's a good atmosphere. The crowd is into it, and Kurosawa's been one. Add him to the list with who's Jean-Pierre Lafitte and Dean Douglas as kind of the mid-card surprises that we've come across as we've gone through these shows. So he's been a lot of fun to right. see in these matches.
We get our shot of the announcers. Pepe is in a denim jacket and hat. Kind of a low-grade outfit for Pepe.
Yeah.
You know, this was on the lower end of the spectrum. Right as the announcers.
If they really wanted to troll, they would have had him in the Pele Pele jacket.
That would have been so good. I would have died. That would have been amazing.
I'm kind of disappointed. I want to ask Bischoff now why he didn't think to do that. Like, I feel like that
Or you could have done, like, a black eye over him.
Right? Something. You know, they could have done something on it. That's a little, you know, or even if next week's on the Halloween episode, they should have done it then. Like, that would have been pretty funny if they,
I will say, like, I've been listening, you know, now that I've caught up on my podcast and I've pretty much gotten into a groove where I'm only listening to wrestling podcasts right now, I've been listening to a lot of the 83 Weeks mm-hmm. podcasts, and I think of all the Conrad vehicles, that's my favorite at the moment.
Yeah.
Because, like, Bischoff is full of shit, but in some ways it's like, well, at least he was captaining the ship,
right.
you know? So it's just like, okay, well, this was his utopia, but he believed in it. Like, that's, I do like some of the Pritchard shows, but it's maddening where, like, he just defends Vince. And it's like, I mean, what does this guy have over, you know? I mean, it's like, he feels very, like, a lackey at points when he keeps defending some of the stuff that was obviously horrible.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I mean, Bischoff, he died with the ship. To a degree, so there we go. It's not too bad to watch. Listen,
that's the lost the lost letters from Center Stage until Alan pissed him off on Twitter.
Yeah,
he was supposed to come on. There's a little inside tidbit for you all. We had an interview lined up with Bischoff, and then Alan pissed him off and he blocked him. And that was it.
Way to go, chap! Called Alan. Is he? Maybe save this for the. PTB in retrospect, but he's probably like the biggest guest that we were going to have that fell through, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's the
you don't
lost
think Gambler's
punk.
Son?
The who?
Gambler's Son.
Oh, Gambler's Son. Yeah, that was a big I mean, I guess the Lost podcast Will has with Punk. That's
yeah.
up there because that was there. Right during his peak, but, well, that was pre-PTB too, so.
Are you not counting the Kevin Kelly guests? Is it just pure PGB?
Well, I was thinking guests that were, like, semi-lined up and then fell through.
Oh, I get you. Because I'd say the biggest get we probably had was Kevin doing JR, right? That's probably the biggest.
Oh, as far as notoriety, yeah. I mean, I'd say like the biggest guest that's ever. Who would you say is the biggest guest that's ever been on a PTB Cop podcast? You think it's AJ at this point or somebody else?
Oh, I forgot about AJ. Yeah, I'd say AJ and Jim Ross are probably the big, and then Paige maybe DDP. Those are probably the big three.
Yeah. I may actually say AJ though probably is number
AJ's
one
probably
at
number
this
one.
Point.
Yeah. How about for me and Scott? You think? Shamrock.
I'd say JJ.
Yeah.
Thrasher.
He was awesome. Those are the guys I like.
Yeah, just again in my 2000 viewing, Thrasher just no showed a MCW Memphis taping, so he loses the tag belts to American Dragon and Spanky. They strip him of the belt, so. Screwed up there, Thrasher. But back to this. Nitro, as I lose my notes, my screen flipped. Flipped right here. So the lights go out as the announcers are talking, and we get King Curtis here in all his glory.
Hold on, before that, we get one of my least favorite Bobby tropes, but he goes all the way like over the top with it. He says, "On the plane today, the pilot left the cockpit to come ask him about tonight's main event." I mean, like, he usually does the everyone's coming up to me in the airport, at the restaurant, like, whatever. But, I mean, the pilot left the cockpit while he's flying the plane to come talk about the main event of tonight's Nitro.
And then doesn't he, like, joke and say, "Should you be driving the plane?"
Yeah, I mean,
like, no sense.
I love Bobby, but I hate over the fucking top. But, like, it's just, like, so fake. I mean, come on. No one's buying it that the pilot left the fucking cockpit. You know what I mean?
Like, I think my least favorite Bobby, like, oversell is when he always...
smells something?
And he, well, when he does this in Havoc when we get there. But he always is like, "Oh, and if you're watching this, tell your friends tomorrow and tell them to order the replay."
Right.
I mean, who orders the replay? And he would always sell that, like, "Oh, you got to see what's on the replay. Watch it again." It's like, no, definitely not. But yeah, so we get the King Curtis promo now. What words of wisdom did you get from this bad boy? Did you
have any notes on my son!
This is just all, and he's lying. I can't imagine. I mean, you're in the heart of.
Why did you kill Chris Benoit's family, Sullivan?
You were in the heart of Dixie at Huntsville, Alabama, and they will out King Curtis to deliver this.
The insurance package is given, and then this, I couldn't even make out what the fuck you were saying. It's such bullshit and rambling nonsense.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, the closed caption on this would be hilarious on the network. But yeah, so we hear the insurance package, we go to a big block of ice, so that gets wheeled out. And then, like, Gene does an interview with Sullivan the Giant immediately after that nonsense. Sullivan says Diete is the insurance policy. We get the announcement of the Yeti. A lot of tiger analogies.
Is he the father though? Is that the name they call him? Like the father, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be Sullivan's dad.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, literal or figurative. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Come home to the Conk Republic, my son.
Yeah. I can't make it out why King Curtis would be Sullivan's, you know, like they're pretty
close at age.
Pretty big difference in ethnicity too.
Mother made meatloaf.
This is bad. This is wrestle crap.
Oh, we're just getting started though.
Yeah. So that goes to Brian. I mean, nothing from John and Sullivan. Not one of their better promos either.
So Sullivan says the icebox is the Yeti, whose father went to the Serpas to obtain the Yeti, he says. I think he meant Serpas, right?
The Boston accent for saying Yeti was Yeti. It was bad.
It's Sherpas, though, right? Because he definitely says Serpas.
Serpas, yeah.
I went to school.
Get some Sherpas.
I went to high school with a Bill and Ron Serpa. They were cousins. So that's who we went to see.
I went to Ron Serpa.
Well, maybe. I mean, he's up in your neck of the woods, right?
Sullivan says, evil dwelling in Hogan's heart. There's no goodness left because, remember, he's super dark, brother.
Right,
and the crowd
right.
actually chants for Hogan, which is interesting. And Giant says he'll take his last life and the title at Halloween Havoc. So this is, we've gone off the rails big time with this. But you know what? The difference between like this and Raw is like this, like even though it's off the rails and fucking insane, like there's an excitement and a live feel about it. Like it doesn't feel like it's hokey, but not in the WWF hokey way that they have it right now. Like Vince isn't yucking it up. Like they're taking it serious, which in a way makes it even more crazy. But I don't know. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. But even though it's maniac, like if this exact thing happened on Raw, we'd be fucking like burying it. But because it's in the Nitro atmosphere and everything that's going around it, like it doesn't feel as lame for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's memorable too, if nothing else. So it does have that, but yeah, I mean, I don't think it's good. I mean, at best, it's probably campy.
No, but the atmosphere to me and just everything going around it, for whatever reason, to me, makes it seem like not as bad.
Yeah, okay. back from break, it's the star of Thunder in Paradise, is how he's announced, Hulk Hogan. Hulk is still sporting the neck brace, so I wrote a note there, like Triple H in 2000 should take note of that. You know, Hulk, 2 months in nearly, sporting this neck brace. Now, Hulk has some, this is a crazy promo from the Hulkster here. He has some Bible and FDR references, and then he drops this great quote. He says, "Everybody knows a man with a pair of black gloves on and with a black rag is capable of doing anything."
He's not a thug. He is not a thug.
I was like, what the fuck, Hulk? So, you know, knowing what you know about the Hulkster, right. That was...
You know what those guys are capable of, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
I walked through the dark valley carrying all the maniacs, leaving just one set of footprints. So he basically says he's God, right? Carrying his all the maniacs.
Yeah, this is out there. Gene mentions Sting, Luger, and Macho not backing Hogan up. And I mean, Hogan says he'll face them, too. So
yeah, he doesn't give a fuck. He's back. He's the bad guy. He says, I'm going to drag the Giant around in his Harley till he's ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And he calls him his so-called friends, and they're waiting to pick his bones while he's hurt. And he tells him to get in line behind the big dog. He says, so I guess Reigns is main eventing.
Yeah,
right there. He says,
it's the big dog.
He said, the bad guy Hulk Hogan will be waiting to beat them all. This is quite the experience. I mean, all the religious overtones, the dark Hogan stuff is so lame, but this is like, I mean, it's a religious experience in a way. It's a crazy to me. It's just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, and he's so obsessed with making us know he's a bad guy that it's like, it's so lame. It's like, I'm the bad guy. He literally called himself the bad guy in this. Like, oh God, it's rough, but it's also very entertaining because it's so fucking absurd at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I actually, in some ways, like this probably better than what we've seen from Hulk just because it had more edge to it. I mean, this in some ways was kind of the first Hollywood Hulk Hogan promo. I mean, it felt like that to a degree, but I mean, I still wouldn't say it was good, but at least like he didn't get any like stinky Giant references.
No.
And so, you know, we cut that crap out at the very least.
And the difference is when he gets to be Hollywood, he like just acts like an asshole instead of telling us he's an asshole. Like that's the problem with this that I've had with the Dark Hulk stuff is that like he's constantly telling us he's bad. You know what I mean? Like he's
right. Yeah.
Like, instead of being like dark and bad, he keeps saying it like I'm dark. I'm bad. You know, it's whatever. Like you're fetch. We get it. You know, like he keeps just fucking like stop saying it. Like it's not getting over. Just let it go. Just be dark if you want to be dark.
So that's that. Then we get our second match of the night, which is Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko teaming up to face Eddie Guerrero and Mr. JL. Another where the big boys play during the entrance. So yeah. Eric was hitting those.
He also says the rumors of the Cruiserweight tournament are
right.
Flowing.
We have a lot of rumors of the Cruiserweight tournament happening. Now, Alex Wright was supposed to be in this match to team with Eddie, but he's on crutches.
Yep.
Benoit has yellow tights and a black star on the butt. Kind of a weird look again. One I'm not used to seeing him sport, but there you have it. They team up in the early going. Benoit goes for a suicide dive on the outside, but hits Malenko by mistake. Eddie launches JL onto both of them. Now, I like this match, but I thought JL was clearly the weak link to me. I thought he looked rough here, hitting an assisted drop kick. And then he doesn't get up for a back suplex from Malenko right after that. Then we get this weird segment where they jump to the back and Norton and Shark are fighting.
Right.
While Zodiac is just like standing there.
He doesn't know what to do without a sunroof. Yeah,
just standing there. And then, you know, Bischoff says like, oh, they have some leftover drama from
what a
Nitro.
Callback. 9/11 so, Nitro.
That's at nine. I had to look it up. Yeah. I was like, when the hell was that? Because I knew it was one of the first ones. And yeah, it was
the first one.
The 9/11, the very first one we watched. So, I mean, you know, hats off. Bravo. Quite the callback. But 6 weeks for this short.
I don't know why we have to do it in the middle of this match, though. That's like,
right.
What the fuck?
Yeah. They kind of degraded the match where they literally cut to the back. So that was frustrating. We come back from a commercial break. Malenko and Benoit are still working over JL. Nice back suplex from Benoit. JL makes his comeback tag to Eddie. I thought the crowd was more alive for Eddie, and I thought Eddie did a great hot tag. He knocks Benoit off the apron. He hits an arm dragon leg scissors on both, and then he makes the tag to Mr. JL again. All of them are inside the ring now going back and forth. Guerrero and Benoit go to the outside, and then Dean is able to take back over on the injured Mr. JL. But Alex Wright trips up Malenko, allowing JL to get the pin. I like this match. I thought it was pretty fun. But I did think JL kind of brought things down a bit. So I ended up going in one of those kind of ornery rankings. Because of that, I thought he was a weak link of this match, so I ended up going 2 3/4 for the match overall.
Higher, you crossed. Okay, so it's not just Raw's higher than you on this side. I'm telling you, you were in a mood watching these shows. I went 3 1/4 on this. But I've
loved Blue Skies Reserva.
I've loved all these matches with all these guys. Just random and really good. I like the dive to the forward by Dean. That's something you don't always see from him, so that was kind of cool. Yeah. And then Benoit tries and that backfires. And then JL dives too. And then Eddie hit a great spinning backbreaker on Dean. And everyone, JL was a step behind, but the rest of the guys were real smooth. We see the fight backstage. I thought Dean and Benoit were some good, crisp double team offense. And we get more talk about Hogan and the father and the block of ice. I thought Benoit hit a nasty superplex. JL just takes a shit kicking when he's in there. I like the hot tag. And yeah, the finish was fine too. I thought the offense was really good on both sides. The crowd was into it. So I went 3 1/4. I really like this. I would notch it as a possible hidden gem, but you didn't go high enough, so we won't call it one. But
sorry. Wah, wah. Pillman comes out and he DDTs Eddie on the concrete.
Yeah,
so that looked cool. Yeah. I thought that was a nice cameo.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
See, that's how you'd be dark and bad without actually telling us you're dark and bad, you know?
Yeah. Pillman's such a, like, sleazeball around this time.
Oh, yeah, so good.
And I can't remember what the context of this was, but I have the note that says it's not the world's biggest martini, I tell you that. I don't know who the hell said that.
That had to be Mongo.
I guess. Yeah, that had to be a Mongo. But anyway, that was all I had up to our main event. Do you have any other notes on this?
Nope, just to the match.
Okay. So then we get our main event, which is Harlem Heat versus Sting and Lex Luger teaming up. Now, I have some good – I do have some Mongo quotes here. here's a nice shots fired. He says, "What you mean, in your outhouse?" when they talk about the in your house the night before.
Oh, yeah.
And then he says, "They need to move that thing. It's starting to stink." and then he says, like John Cougar says, "When the walls come tumbling down."
Oh, yeah. They're just all over it.
A lot of shit by Mongo here.
Just all over
another
it.
Where the big boys play. So I don't think Eric has done 3-1 night before. So he does that here. Bobby calls Sherry beautiful. And Eric, like, very seriously says, "Bobby, you are so twisted and demented." Like,
poor Sherry.
So it's funny. At the very beginning of this match, Sting intentionally throws Stevie Ray over the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby, like, calls for the DQ. And Eric says, "No, that wasn't intentional. It was the momentum." It was like, no, it was definitely 100%.
I hated that fucking rule. It was so stupid.
Oh, that was probably the worst of the... Especially, like, I think they keep that to, like, 97, 98.
Oh, yeah, it's around
like,
for a while.
It's like, I mean,
yeah.
Come on. Yeah, that was the lamest of all the WCW rules.
Well,
for
you
sure.
Know, stick to it. Like, it's fine if you – I get the point, right? You use it to build heat behind the ref's back and stuff. But don't do this bullshit momentum stuff that they would do. You know, like no one believes that, like the momentum.
Yeah, especially if it's off like a clothesline or stuff. But this is even more blatant than that. Like, Sting literally, like, I think grabs him by the head and, like, sends him over. And,
right.
And yeah, Eric's like, no, he didn't mean to do that. It's like, where was he trying to put him? But, yeah, so Harlem Heat takes over as we head to another break. I didn't think there was anything too exciting from Harlem Heat on top. But, I mean, it wasn't awful. It just wasn't great right. either. Sherry's kissing a picture of her and Colonel Rob Parker. And then Bobby has another great quote. He says, "I wonder how many Polaroids they have together." And then he says, "Shiny," which I don't know. Did that mean like? I don't even know. Somebody jizzed on the phone.
The original fappening was the Sherry and Parker sex Polaroids.
I assume that's what he was going for, but it was a little blue for Nitro. Chinlock gets applied. On Luger, we get the hot tag made to Sting. He runs through all his offense but gets put on the outside, which means they forgot about him. And then Sting comes with a crossbody to get the pin. Ended up going 2 stars on this, so you can talk about the match before we get to the post-match stuff.
Yeah, they talk a lot about the controversy with Sting and Luger, who's on Hogan's bad side and whatever. Sting's wearing red and yellow, which Hogan had actually noted earlier.
Marianne.
I enjoyed Bobby explaining what a Yeti was to Bischoff. we get the control by Heat. Bischoff talks about Luger possibly being the whole reason Hogan and Sting's relationship has fallen apart. I thought that was a nice touch. And then you get the hot tag into the finish. It was fine. Rock solid tag. It exists really just to push the Sting and Luger story and I guess the Parker shit. But I went 2 on this. So, yeah.
Okay. So we're even. Taskmaster and the Giant come into the ring. They attack. Tag Sting and Luger. Another nice beat down by the Giant here. He's laid people out week after week. Looked pretty good doing it. Savage comes flying in and gets a shot on the Taskmaster. We have Giant and Savage kind of circling around each other, and here comes Hogan out. We hear all hell is going to break loose from Mongo at this point. Hogan and Giant now circle, and the crowd's actually like going pretty nuts. Like, of the 2 shows, I think this was probably the biggest reaction of anything we saw tonight. Hogan punches Giant, who no-sells it.
And Hogan actually gets booed while he's doing that.
Yes. Yeah. The Giant's been getting more face reactions just in the way he's been presented, I think. Hogan hulks up. Hogan sends Giant into the turnbuckle as all the Dungeon of Doom hits the ring. We got a melee in the ring with Savage and Hogan cleaning house. Dillinger with a billy club tries to stop Hogan. And then this finish, buddy. The strobe starts up with some music. We hear from Bischoff that the floor is shaking. Heenan flees and an explosion happens with the Yeti just emerging from the block of ice as we fade to black.
Oh, so, my God.
What a hard sell for the pay-per-view here.
We did this on a live watch. It was one of the last ones I think we did for Nitro on the Place to Be podcast. And I don't think I've ever laughed so fucking hard watching something live. I mean, the thing, like, the movement he makes as he bursts through the ice, like, throws his arms up is so fucking ridiculous. And this giant penis wrapping that he has on. I mean, it's so fucking stupid. Oh God, it's so good. It's one of my favorite all time Nitro moments. It's like what the fuck? It's like, and it makes you wonder, how can this promotion be so like divergent? Like, how can you go from this tag match with Benoit and Guerrero and these guys, and like a hard hitting Savage and Kurosawa, and Sting and Luger with this kind of complex, and then you get this in the main event? It's like, it's so fucking odd that this is the same promotion putting all these things out. But the Yeti is just incredible. Like, if you've never seen this, you need to watch the end of this Nitro. Like, you just need to see the moment of when he busts through that ice, because it is, it is like orgasmic for any like fan of anything cheesy in wrestling. It is, it's just amazing. I don't even know how to describe what he does when he comes out of the ice.
Well, and they actually, I mean, like, sadly, they time it perfectly.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Where you don't see, I mean, you see him just emerge, and then it goes to black. Like, for all of the shoddy production that WCW has, this is like one time when they were note perfect on when to cut the tape, but it's just hilarious that it's the Yeti that they they get it exactly right.
Oh,
I mean, of all the things.
It was so good.
So that ends that Nitro. It is a must-see moment. Like, really, I'd say the last 5 minutes are worth watching.
Brilliant.
A lot of fun to watch. So let's get into our awards for Nitro. Match of the night, I assume we both are going to go with the tag.
Yes.
Okay. What did you put as your moment?
Oh, come on. The Eddie. It's got to be the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of put just like the whole closing angle.
Yeah, the whole thing is
Hogan and Giant squared up. But yeah, I mean, the Eddie is probably the one singular most memorable thing, right?
Yeah. Oh,
your MVP.
Savage. I loved him in that opening match, and the selling of the arm was real good, so I really dug it.
I actually did go Hogan here. And I think it's just because, I mean, like, I thought his promo was okay, and I did like him circling with the Giant. I thought he made him look strong. So I thought this was probably the best we've seen of Hogan so far. Commentary lines, did you write any down before what we mentioned?
I had, you sit over here and have a heart attack. I may sit on your chest, but I'm not giving you mouth-to-mouth, Mongo said to Bobby. the only thing that used to scare me was my wife's charge card bills, Mongo said as well.
That's a pretty good one. Hits close to home. We had some shots. The only shots fired I had was in your house.
Yep. Yeah, that whole exchange, yeah.
Yeah. Our debut, Diete.
Yes.
No dropped angles, actually an angle that was resurrected with Norton versus Sharp.
Yep.
And the rating for this one, Pepe's outfit, as I said, was the denim coat and jacket and a hat. And the rating was a 2.2. So another 2.2. Yeah, they lost again. Same rating as they had last week, so they were flat.
I wonder how much of the Raw bump was for Sean coming off the pay-per-view.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's still interesting to me that Raw's beating Nitro fairly handily at this point. I mean, you know, like 0.4, but when you're talking about twos, that's, you know, 18%. They're beating them by. So,
yeah,
it's kind of interesting. What did you go for an overall rating here?
I went 6.5. I really like this episode. So that's one of the highest. I think that's tied for the highest TV grade. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We gave last week a 7. So just a touch behind. No Horseman. We got the Pillman cameo, but that was about it. So that was interesting. No Flair, no Arn, none of that stuff coming off. I'm sorry, leading into Havoc for the big tag. So that was interesting, I thought. But otherwise, no, I really liked it. I thought they had good matches. As ridiculous as the Hogan shit was throughout, like, it was all very entertaining and absurd. I dug it. That was a really good episode. It definitely lapped Raw easily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't go as high on this one, but I did go 6 out of 10. Thought it was a very enjoyable episode. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. So do we want to do our combo awards now?
Yeah, I think so.
So show we're going Nitro, I assume.
Yeah, easy.
Okay. Best match, I assume we're going with the tag as well.
Yep.
And then best segment, do we want to go ahead and type in Yeti on that one?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I think you just do the post. Yeah. Final angle, closing angle.
Okay. Better commentary.
Nitro. I thought Raw was
Nitro.
Blah.
They were pretty flat, yeah. So that's that. Raw was our ratings winner.
Yeah.
And then our overall MVP, who do we want to go for that?
I'm going to say... I don't know. I mean, I like Savage the best of the night. Owen had a good showing, too. I mean, I could go... Whatever. What do you got?
I mean, I can... I'd probably would put Savage over over Owen, so
okay.
I guess we'll go with that.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
All right.
Almost a clean sweep. Well, it was a clean sweep for Nitro, except for the ratings.
And they've won our last four best show.
Best shows, yeah. Well, I mean, that seems to be the case. Like, I would say after In Your House 3, it really felt like Nitro's been getting... better and more consistent, and Raw's just kind of declined.
Right. All right.
That's
it.
Another one in the books.
So we'll be back On our next episode, episode 11, we'll be talking Halloween Havoc, so another pay-per-view. They've done a lot of good build. Are you looking forward to it?
I think that's an interesting show, probably historically. We'll get into it when we do that review, but I think that's an interesting show that a lot of people have some nostalgia for. I mean, it's been some interesting build. We finally get to see Hogan and the Giant, machine versus machine, man versus man. So between that and the Horseman versus Sting Flair tag match, I think those are two pretty well built two matches. And then you still have the Luger Savage stuff. So we'll see how it shakes out when we get to the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and WCW is just really crushing WWF at this point, just in overall entertainment value for these shows, so, which is interesting. I mean, we saw a blip with Raw with the Watts stuff, but overall, to me, like you said, I mean, WCW has been much more entertaining and exciting to watch overall week to week, so we'll see if that continues or if Raw can pick, or, you know, WWF can pick it back up. All right, so make sure you check out everything at PlaceToBeNation.com. We're heading off week for the Place to Be podcast. But there was a new Pop Blast that dropped earlier this week. Myself, Tim Capel, and Jennifer Smith looked at the second season of GLOW. So listen to that on the PlayStation Pop feed. Of course, you can subscribe to all of our feeds, PlayStation Nation Wrestling, PlayStation Pop, and Pro Wrestling Only. of course, on Wednesday, we had the newest installment of Stacey's Diva Deep Dive. Be sure to check that out each and every Wednesday. Those are great. And be sure to be voting in the greatest song of the 80s polls. Round one is just about wrapping up. It's ending this week. And round two will kick off probably about the middle of next week as we tally up the vote. So we've had a good sustained voting. So we appreciate that. And everyone's spreading the word and sharing it. So be sure to get involved if you haven't yet. A lot of fun. And also get involved in the Greatest 30 Tag Team Project that's ongoing. Chat are still going there. Of course, we've had some written pieces go up. We've had some audio as well. So more to come as we get closer to the deadline at the end of the year. So anything you want to talk about, Chad?
No, I think I'm good. Site-wise, actually, right now.
All right. There you go. All right. We'll be back. Halloween Havoc. Until then, we'll see you. Smell the napalm.
Goodbye, Chad.
Get there.
Sullivan!